Today, a different perspective on the same issue. Nell Minow is a stockholder activist and a co-founder of the online Corporate Library, which focuses on corporate governance and the relationship between management boards and shareholders. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Let's talk first about WorldCom. Is there any reform you can think of which, had it been enacted, say, a decade ago, might have prevented WorldCom from collapsing under the weight of what appears to have been a fairly simple but massive accounting fraud?
Well, I think all roads lead back to the board of directors. And one of the things that we've learned from the collapsing companies this year has been that boards of directors have been more myth than reality. It's always been interesting to me that you take these intelligent, accomplished, honorable people, and somehow you put them around a boardroom table and their IQ points drop 50% and their spines fly out the room. So I think that what we had here at WorldCom was an audit committee that was not paying attention to the change in assumptions, because there was a moment of change at WorldCom, and a board that approved some astonishing loans to the CEO that should themselves have been a warning signal.
So what is the answer then, that the people who serve on boards should be told you're actually supposed to earn those big honoraria that you're paid for showing up a couple of times a year, or get better people? What?
We need to remind them what their job is. One of the problems is that in the United States, normally the CEO is also the chairman of the board, meaning that he controls the agenda and the quantity and timing of the information. And so board meetings tend to be endless pep rallies instead of being conversations about strategy and important decisions. So one of the things that I think is very important and has been proposed by the New York Stock Exchange is that the outside directors have to meet regularly without management present. That's the only way that they can kind of get a little bit of a reality check on what's going on.
But there seems to be another problem at work here, which is that when the stock goes up, no one seems to care at all about any of this.
And when the stock goes up very, very quickly, really nobody cares. And here's a good example of that. At Tyco, where the company was doing very, very well for quite a while, the CEO, Dennis Kozlowski, did not have a contract, as is the case at about two-thirds of companies, so he could have been fired at any time for any reason. Just last year, he came to his board and he said, you know what, I'd like to have a contract, and I'd like that contract to provide that if I'm convicted of a felony, that's not grounds for dismissal, unless the felony has a direct and material injurious effect on the company. And somehow, the board of directors all said, absolutely fine.
And that would have been in the fine print available to shareholders?
That is in the fine print available to shareholders.
Well, what you're saying sounds very persuasive to me. It seems very right to me as a set of observations. Just as a way of preventing these things from happening, just saying we think everybody should be more diligent and more smart doesn't seem to be to have a lot of teeth.
That's true. I think that there are some reform proposals that are very encouraging. One that I would really like to see is I'd like investment managers to disclose their proxy votes. I was very concerned earlier this year when Deutsche Asset Management switched their vote from no to yes in the Hewlett-Packard-Compaq merger after getting $1 million fee from Hewlett-Packard. And if I had my money managed by Deutsche Asset Management, I'd like to know how they voted on my behalf. So if you are going to be choosing between two different money managers, it would be nice to know how they vote.
We've seen a couple of multi-billion dollar business scandals, and at various times these have been dismissed as the rotten apples that have been found in the barrel. Maybe they represent the pervasive ethics of the 1990s. Well, what's your sense?
Well, I've done a little bit of historical research, and I've looked at various frauds and scandals over the years, and each one sort of bears the imprint of its era. And yes, there is one respect in which this is the obvious consequence of the kind of a boom and bubble that we had during the 1990s. We created the incentive for a little bit of fooling around with the numbers, and in some cases, a little bit went to a lot. So I think that is a problem. I think also audit committees of boards have really failed in their function. So I think the best areas for reform right now probably are in the area of audit committees and accountants. I think accountants had forgotten that they were professionals and had become essentially a commodity. At this point, what I want to hear from an audit firm if I'm thinking about hiring one is, have you ever quit? Have you ever quit somebody because they just wanted to be too aggressive and you wouldn't go along with it? And I hope the answer would be yes.
Have you ever asked them that question of
yes.
An accounting firm?
Yes.
And has someone told you yes, we have?
No, so far no one has told me yes.
You haven't heard that?
No,
yet.
I'm waiting for that.
Well, Nell Minow, thank you very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure.
Nell Minow, who is a co-founder of the online corporate library, is a stockholder activist in Washington, D.C.